In a courtroom in Los Angeles, a U.S. district judge has been hearing testimony on whether Jimmy Page and Robert Plant of the legendary rock band Led Zeppelin borrowed or stole a musical phrase as part of creating their signature song, Stairway to Heaven. The estate of Randy Wolf, founder of the band Spirit, claims that Page and Plant incorporated a unique musical phrase from 1968's Taurus in the 1971 Stairway to Heaven's introduction. Was there copyright infringement? Were Page and Plant influenced by Taurus? Did Stairway use a chord sequence that's been used for centuries? With me to talk about that is musician and Glendale Community College instructor Adam Roberts, who teaches a course in rock history. Adam, how often do songs sound similar? Can a songwriter, can an artist accidentally copy a song that came before simply because maybe that's where the creative inspiration developed?
Well, I'd say it's almost impossible to write a song, especially these days, that doesn't have some element from some other song. We have in American music and, of course, British music that's being heavily influenced by American music, it's all coming from the blues. We have this longstanding musical tradition that dates back, you know, into the 1800s of blues chord progressions and blues feeling and melodies, and it's so pervaded our culture, you find it everywhere. And Led Zeppelin's no exception. Some of their most famous songs are coming right from the blues. So as you're composing, you're going to be referencing all of this history, and even if you're not doing it intentionally, it's hard not to draw from everything you've been soaking in your whole life.
Is it possible that a creative person simply heard something and liked how it sounded and didn't really consciously connect it to someone else's work?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're soaking things in constantly. If you think you've been hearing music your entire life, you go to write a song, and how do you know when a melody sounds good? Well, I'll tell you, as an artist myself, I hear stuff, and I'm not 100% where it's coming from, but I bet if I dug around, there's little nuances that are coming from somewhere. They have to have been informed by something. So it's very, very easy to tap into something you're not even consciously aware of.
Let's get into a little bit on copyright law. As far as music is concerned, what's protected by copyright law and what is not?
Without belaboring it too much, since there's a lot of nitpicky details, the big stuff, melodies and lyrics are protected. Chord progressions as a norm are not. So if it's simply the chord progression, you can have a completely original melody over a chord progression we've heard before, and copyright law theoretically doesn't protect you.
Put this suit into context, the current Led Zeppelin suit, when it compared to, well, what happened with Blurred Lines and Robin Thicke, and even a couple others that came to mind for me, George Harrison with My Sweet Lord, and then I think there was a John Fogerty one as well, if I'm right?
Yeah, the John Fogerty one's really unusual because I believe that one was the one where he was sued for sounding like himself. But outside of that, in the cases of these different songs, it gets difficult because it tends to be more of a timeline argument. This song happened before that song. The Robin Thicke one is particularly interesting because most musicians are really feeling very scared about the result of that lawsuit simply because the Robin Thicke song doesn't have much in common with the Marvin Gaye song other than just a general sense of feel and atmosphere. There's a lot of belief that Robin Thicke's kind of abrasive way of handling himself in the courtroom may have gotten him in more trouble than the song itself. But it sure sets a rough precedent because how do you plan for feel and vibe? That's a quote from the actual testimony. And that's, they say, what he got in trouble with.
Well, yeah, how dangerous is a precedent like that? And I guess I wonder, does precedent, and just maybe a cynical question, or does precedent apply when a song becomes extremely popular? Let's say a song is just, you know, it's a good song, but most people don't hear it. I mean, I presume that happens at all sorts of levels, but when something explodes on the Billboard charts, then it becomes, we need to get attention on this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the simple fact that it became popular, you know, makes you a target for all sorts of reasons. It could be perfectly innocent. They could be listening to the song and saying, oh, that sounds just like mine, but they wouldn't have heard it unless it made it to the mainstream. I mean, for instance, I play a lot of jazz music, but since jazz music is not one of the big sellers these days, I could have a song that sounds very similar to something I've never heard, and no one else is aware of it. But if it somehow became popular, you know, I open myself up to accusations because of the simplicity of our modern pop music structure and the limited number of chords and the simplicity of the melody. It becomes even easier to duplicate some element of some song you may have never even heard.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix talking with Adam Roberts about music, in part the Led Zeppelin lawsuit that claims that maybe Led Zeppelin borrowed from a song by the band Spirit for Stairway to Heaven in 1971. Adam, one of the things that comes to mind for me has to do with, I guess I think of something like Pandora or whatnot, that is almost tied to this idea that genre or a certain kind of song is something that may appeal to the listener. At the same time, is that sort of, I don't want to talk about algorithms per se, but is that sort of giving us a clue as to the idea that a lot of songs sound alike, even though I know that's not exactly what the algorithm is based on?
I see where you're going with that. The idea that these songs have some similar element, for Pandora, you might throw in a mood, or you might throw in a, I like this song and I want to hear other songs like it. And Pandora would tell you that it's touching into topics in the lyrics, or it's in a certain key, or it's at a certain speed. So this overlap definitely leads to a lot of similarities. If I wanted a song in A minor, for instance, to make it relevant to this lawsuit, and I wanted it slower and I wanted it on acoustic guitar, I'm likely going to get these songs because they have all those elements in it.
It struck me as interesting that the estate of the late performer for Spirit is looking at a 1971 song that the claim is it's based on a 1968 song. Has this thing been in the works for a while? Or I guess I was surprised by the fact that there's no statute of limitations to some extent on this.
I looked up songs that used this same sort of thing. And I went back a little, and during the testimony, someone referenced Chim Chim Cheree from Mary Poppins. I dug further. Rodgers and Hart has the very famous song My Funny Valentine, which, while in a different key, has a very similar chord progression. How Insensitive from Antonio Carlos Jobim is very similar. Heck, you can go all the way back to Bach. Bach has a song called Bourée in E minor, which has a very similar chord progression. So, this is one of those things you can just stumble on, and it sounds perfectly reasonable. Not to mention, on a guitar, as you're playing guitar, the patterns that this song took advantage of are very basic. So it's the kind of thing you might just stumble on practicing.
If we look at the patterns too of over the years, over the last 40 years, if we look at the Billboard charts for particular style of music, I wonder if listeners tend to end up sort of choosing the same sorts of songs subconsciously, the ones that they really like.
I find in my interactions with people through the rock history class I teach and just out in the general public that when we say we like a melody or we like a song, there's a certain element of nostalgia to it. We tend to like things that they have just enough innovation to sound fresh, but they sound close enough to the things we've liked in the past that they still have that ring of familiarity. People don't tend to take radical leaps out of their styles. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody say, I like country, but I don't particularly like rock music, or vice versa? That's basically begging to those norms that we're used to and saying that these traditions make sense to me and I like things that fall into that, but I have a hard time with these other elements. So yeah, it's very common for people to like a lot of familiar with just enough novel to keep us interested.
Musician Adam Roberts, he's also a Glendale Community College instructor who teaches a course in rock history. We've been talking about the lawsuit over Led Zeppelin's song, Stairway to Heaven.